Welcome to the Thursday edition of Chatback. Yeah, and like we have been telling you over and over and over again, today we are beginning, I shouldn't say doing it all because it's a very big document. We are beginning the breakdown of the proposed 2018 national budget. We know, of course, it's still going through the processes, but we get to take a sneak peek at some of the highlights of the budget and some of notable points and things that we can pick out of the 2018 national budget. Take that whooping 71.1 billion kwacha. We will see what that entails, and then also we'll run it side by side other documents of equal importance that have been issued in the recent past. The MTF, we talked about that some time ago. That's the green paper, which was it was released. We know there is the issue of the 7th National Development Plan as well, that we get to look at as well and try and build up that conversation in that regard. So that's what we'll be talking about today. So it's part one, I should mention, part one of the 2018 national budget review, or is it preview in this case, because 2018 is still ahead of us by a few months. We are joined in by Akavondo Kabichan. Welcome back to Chatback. Welcome back to Radio Christian Voice.
Thank you very much.
How is PMRC doing?
PMRC is doing very well.
All right. Mm-hmm. We've seen you've been quite busy in the recent past. We were privileged to have attended the symposium recently arranged by yourselves in conjunction with the Chinese government on infrastructure development. That was good stuff. Congratulations. But let's stick to what we are here to talk about today. The 2018 budget was presented before the parliament, and first things first, what are some of the highlights of this 2018 budget?
Right, thank you very much. As you may be aware, the 2018 budget addressed to the Zambian nation, as addressed by Honorable Felix Mutati, is themed accelerating fiscal fitness for sustained inclusive growth, mm-hmm. Without leaving anyone behind. And so the budget is focused on consolidating gains that have been made in the past year of promoting fiscal fitness, and is anchored on five strategic pillars,
yes,
outlined in the 7th National Development Plan, namely economic diversification and job creation, poverty and vulnerability reduction, reduction of development inequalities, enhancing human development, and creating a conducive governance environment for a diversified and inclusive economy. So, of course, when you skim through the budget, you see the element of poverty and vulnerability reduction still comes back with the increase in the number of people that are on the
social
cash transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, re-echo of creating a conducive governance environment through legislative reform, as well as the introduction of certain bills to try and support this pillar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a nutshell, I would say that basically defines, I think, our budget going forward.
Mm.
Of course, there's an increase in terms of the nominal amount towards the budget
yes.
compared to last year. So we're moving to around 71 billion.
Yes, yeah.
Coming from about 64, somewhere there.
Yeah. From 64.5 to about 71.6 billion.
Yes.
The increase, is it something that came a little bit as a shock, because from the 7th National Development Plan, even in the address by the head of state, we were looking at an average of about 68 billion per year for the period which the plan does run, but this one slightly goes to about 71. Is that still within the acceptable give or take margin?
Of course, if you look at the 2018 budget, it departs from what was set out in the green paper or the medium term expenditure framework.
Yeah.
Of course, as you go along, things do change.
Mm-hmm.
Ambitions are there for the country to achieve growth,
mm-hmm.
and this could partly be the reason why the budget has been adjusted upwards. Of course. To cover some of the other projects that outlined.
All right. Okay. You're listening to Chatbag, and this show is brought to you with the compliments of the Policy Monitoring and Research Center. Visit their website is www.pmrczambia.com. That's www.pmrczambia.com. They are also very active on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Google Plus, on LinkedIn as well. But I know most of us are more familiar with Facebook than any other thing. So please feel free to visit the website, the Facebook page. Just search for the policy for PMRC Zambia, and you should be able to log in from that point onwards. And that will be a fantastic thing for you to do. We are previewing, first of all, the 2018 budget that was presented to the National Assembly by the Honorable Minister of Finance, Felix Mutati, Member of Parliament. Now, there's a lot of focus, like you said, without leaving anyone behind. What are some of the highlights in terms of the key sectors? You've mentioned the increase in the number and the amount of the social cash transfer. But what about other key areas such as education and health? Has there been any significant changes compared to the budget that we're just winding up, the 2017 one?
Of course, if you look at the health sector, there's an increase. Previously, I think both nominal and actual percentages as a total of the entire budget, you will see that towards health in 2017 budget we had an allocation of 8.9%, which was around 5.7 billion.
Yep.
Going forward in 2018, we have 6.7 billion or 9.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's an increase towards health allocation, but of course, given the new challenges that are coming on board, different policy pronouncements, now we might need to put in more in the health sector. And also, noting with concern our allocations towards health sector. If you look at our health sector, it's predominantly supported by donor funding.
Yes.
So donors are pumping about 60% of the total budget. And because of this scenario, it tends to skew priorities in the health sector towards those that are funding us, and we need to find solutions in future to curb this kind of scenario in the health sector.
All right.
You look at education.
Just to clarify on that, what is the disadvantage, if any, of having more than 50% of the budget dependent on donor funding?
Well, donors sometimes may have certain priority areas that they wish to pursue in the health sector, and because of that, it limits your ability to decide on how that money should be spent.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the biggest disadvantage.
The biggest advantage. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please go on. You were mentioning something, see, on the allocation to the health sector.
Yes.
So what are some of the steps that you would recommend as PMRC to the government to try and probably reduce from that 60%? What do you think would be a healthier allocation, I mean, a healthier dependency on donor funding if the health sector is to meet the ambition of having a Zambia Plus arrangement in terms of the budget where nobody is left behind?
Well, of course, the important thing, I think, would be to come to a position where most of the funding in the health sector is at least over 60% is coming from ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and then gradually reducing donor dependence in the sector. That way, we can prioritize our spending in the health sector and spend on key areas that we feel are very important for us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say, of course, the donor community is spending money in the wrong sectors. But of course, they have their own rules on how this money should be spent.
Yeah.
So having a greater control over our programs is much more important.
Yeah.
Coming down to the education sector, you will notice that, of course, by percentage, there's a reduction from 16.5 to 16.1%, but
mm-hmm.
the actual figure actually increases from 10.6 billion to 11.5 in the 2018 budget, mainly because, of course, the scaling down in school infrastructure
mm-hmm.
And other infrastructure projects, and of course, other programs are coming on board to support education.
All right. Now, the one that a lot of people were crossing their fingers for, to look out for, was the issue to do with the tax, the taxation issues, the pay as you earn, and other taxes. What has happened in the 2018 national budget?
Of course, when you look at pay as you earn, there are no changes there. Everything remains the same. I suppose this is an effort to, I think, still try and deal with the issue of the widening
of the tax base.
Yes, widening of the tax base, one, but also we have a problem of widening fiscal deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be in a position where the government is losing revenue by giving tax relief, because that money is needed by the government to close that gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the issue of the tax relief. It was proposed also that the issue of tax holidays be done away with. Is this a welcome move?
It's definitely a welcome move, particularly to deal with, I think, those companies that used to abuse the facility of the five-year tax holiday. To, of course, genuine investors, it's not very good news for them, but of course there are other areas, I think, where they can rein in and make some gains and still invest in the country. I think Zambia still remains one of the top destinations for investment in Africa. So there's still a lot of opportunities for, mm-hmm. for investors in the country.
All right. In terms of revenue collection, I think we touched a little bit on it. There was also a proposal by the Honorable Minister of Finance to say we want to widen the tax base and also create better capacity on the existing platforms that, for example, the Zambia Revenue Authority are able to collect their taxes. What are some of the practical ways that you think have been outlined or proposed in that budget that will meet this ambition of widening the tax base, but also ZRA being equipped with the right capacity for them to maximize on the taxes and revenue that they collect in the country?
Of course, you will note that starting with the 2017 budget, I think there was an effort from the government side to try and install fiscal devices at points of revenue collection, and also moving to a single single account for government transactions. I think government has done very well in rolling out fiscal devices across most government ministries in an effort, of course, to improve revenue collection, as well as encouraging people that are running businesses to use fiscal devices
mm-hmm.
for revenue collection and waiving certain taxes on the procurement of these devices. So that's one of the measures to improve revenue collection from the government side. It's not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been an easy exercise to try and move in on the informal sector and try to mop up revenue in that area, because the cost, of course, of collecting this revenue far outweighs, I think, the benefit. ZRA has from time to time actually talked about this issue
mm-hmm.
and emphasized the need for citizens to be tax compliant.
Yeah.
By encouraging them to be tax compliant, because also the issue of chasing up the informal sector is an expensive venture.
Yes. There was a proposal earlier on, in fact, from yourself, from PMRC, to say that you had suggested to the government to come up with the issue of clusters, trade clusters. Just explain to our listeners how that would help in enhancing revenue collection, especially in the informal sector.
Yeah, right. So if you look at the trade clusters, these are basically centered on bringing the informal sector together, putting them in a place like a multi-facility economic zone,
mm-hmm.
Offering investment incentives for them to operate from those areas. And so when they come together and they're able to operate from these areas, it then becomes much easier for ZRA to collect revenue from them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can provide them with electricity, give them, roll out a few other incentives to attract them there, and then they'll be able to do business, and then it will be easier to collect the taxes from them.
Yeah, indeed. You're listening to Chatback. David from Motorforce, good morning. Marshall and Kitwe, good morning as well. You are tuned in. Our guest today is the head of monitoring and evaluation, Mr. Akabo Ndokabechani from the Policy Monitoring and Research Center. And today we are just taking a glance at the 2018 national budget that was presented. We still await for the final document to be approved, and then we move on. Our friends in Indola, you're saying you are offline. Okay, our technical team is aware of that, and we should be restoring signal in just a moment. So, John Banda, thank you very much for that piece of information coming through, that 98.9 FM of Indola is offline. Mwansa, listening to us from Livingstone, thank you very much. Let me see any of you locked in from Chamba Valley. That's 106.1 FM, originally from Choma. All right, thank you very much. Somebody there tuned in, they didn't give us their name. Let me see if I could get it. That's Washivupe. All right, thank you very much, Washivupe, for coming through, and that is a very good thing for you to do. We are looking at the 2018 budget, and feel free to add in your comments as well as this conversation does proceed. Let's go to another interesting sector, that is the agricultural sector. The reason I say it's interesting, agriculture has been one of the sectors that has been mentioned over and over and over, especially in the speeches delivered by the head of state. We could go back as far back as 2015. You have heard him talk about diversification, the agriculture sector, Now let's see what steps have been taken in the 2018 budget. What is the allocation to the agricultural sector, and what do you make of it?
Well, if you look at where agriculture sits under economic affairs in the budget. If you look at the 2018 budget, it speaks to the 7th National Development Plan, although it's not programmed according to a 7th National Development Plan. So then the economy, if you look at the economic affairs function, of course there's a reduction in terms of spending towards economic affairs from 20.1 billion to about 17.2 billion.
What's with the reduction?
Of course, the reduction, if you see the reduction, you will notice that under Farmer Input Support Program, there is a reduction of about a billion in that area, largely due to, of course, the removal of undeserving beneficiaries on the Farmer Input Support Program.
Mm-hmm.
This is directed at efforts in moving towards using the e-voucher system.
Yep.
Of course, as PMRC, we have in the past spoken about inefficiencies under the Farmer Input Support Program,
mm-hmm.
and how we've had undeserving beneficiaries on the program,
yeah.
and some of them, of course, have since passed on. And there was a need, I think, to clean up and remove ghost beneficiaries on the program, move towards e-voucher, which of course, offers crop diversity and moves away from the original programming of farmer input support program, which of course had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Some of them being, you know, you have a special variability of soil in the country, and then it would give blanket allocation, say, of compound D fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
even in areas where it's not required. So the move from CISP to e-voucher, it's progressive. It's a good score for us as a country, and we should be able to diversify our crop from there. So a few other measures, of course, the food security pack increased from 40,000 beneficiaries to 80,000 beneficiaries.
Yep.
So that's been doubled, and that's definitely progressive. We have the Agricultural and Industrial Credit Guarantee Fund, which has been set up. Now
mm-hmm.
it's fully operational,
mm-hmm.
As announced by the Minister of Finance. And this is likely to offer affordable credit for our farmers, and also to drive our industrialization project.
Mm. Now there was a proposal from the World Bank, and this is the issue of the CISP program. There was a proposal from the World Bank saying, why don't we have tenors where, and I'm paraphrasing, where these beneficiaries are graduated after a period of time, as opposed for people staying on, where now it moves from just being a helping hand, and it's now creating a problem of dependency. What would you suggest? What would be your reaction to that suggestion, especially on the issue of the farmer input support program?
Of course, the original intention of CISP actually was to have people on the program, and then after that, have people graduate
yeah.
the program. But of course, the program has had challenges, and the e-voucher system, I think, is part of the solution, of course, to sorting out some of these problems. And so that's why we have moved to use of the e-voucher
yep.
System. But other than that, in the agriculture sector, of course, we have moved to, in the 2018 budget, to the introduction and development of farm blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So these farm blocks will come on board in 2018 on the Copper Belt, Muchinga, Northern Provinces.
Mm-hmm.
And the model, of course, is anchored on a co-venture with agro-processing facilities. And, of course, will help smallholder farmers and allow them to benefit from technological transfers.
Mm-hmm.
You also note that in the MPhase, there's a plan to set up a tractor and the agricultural equipment assembly plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's Lusaka South Multi-Facility Economic Zone. So this this agri plant is supposed to be set up by the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, will help with supply of agricultural equipment and further the mechanization project in the agriculture sector.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, there are measures, of course, to continue with some of the other pronouncements from the 2017 budget, which support livestock and fisheries, you know, the aquaculture projects and deep tanks that the government had embarked on. And these, I think, more than 60% of progress has been made in these areas. So in terms of agriculture, I think those are the key measures that have been put in place by the government to support agriculture.
All right. You're listening to Chatback on Radio Christian Voice. It's now 10 minutes before 10 in Central Africa. Good morning to you, Kavinga Jonathan, in Soloways on 106.5 FM. We really do thank God that you're tuned in. Kenneth Mwale, also good morning to you, and thank you very much for coming through. 0960200490. Our guest today is Mr. Akabondo Kavechani, who is the head of monitoring and evaluation at PMRC. He joins us today as we just take the first preview of the 2018 national budget. Now, in terms of this 71.6 billion kwacha budget, How much of that is expected to come from donors?
Of course, we have a lot of ambitions in terms of trying to manage our debt levels. And if you look at the external debt and how 2018 budget has been structured, the stock of national debt for 2017
mm-hmm.
stands at about 47% of GDP,
mm-hmm.
with external debt at about 29% of GDP, while domestic debt will account for 18%. All in all, the overall stock of national debt is not different from the 2016 levels.
Uh-huh.
And so 20.1 billion or 28.1 billion of the budget will be financed through domestic and external borrowing. Then debt servicing is expected to be at about 20% of total budget. And of this, external debt repayments will total about 7.3 billion, while domestic debt repayments will amount to approximately 7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
To address some of the problems I think that have been associated with the so-called elephant in the room,
yeah,
which is the debt, I think government has taken a new direction in terms of managing managing the debt, and so I suppose with the measures put in place, I think if we stick to the plans that we have, I think we should be able to weather the storm.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, and I'm going to use the one of the parliamentary sittings. It must be Tuesday, a fortnight ago, when the Honourable Minister of Local Government, Honourable Vincent Mali, Member of Parliament, was responding to questions about the feeder roads and construction. He mentioned, and I quote, saying that the cabinet had actually approved that government would borrow $200 million from the World Bank for the purpose of these roads. But then he also further mentioned that there is some more money that is coming out of the tolling system. And I'm not going to talk about the $200 million because it's still yet to go to Parliament for approval, and so we will leave it at that for now. But in terms of the amount of money that is being collected from the tolling system, do you think there has been enough information fed into the public? I won't use the word transparency; it would sound as if there are any connotations to that. But do you think there has been enough information readily available to the public in terms of how much has been raised and what are the plans going forward?
I think regarding the tolling, I think there's been a lot of information, I think, that has been churned out regarding revenue that's being raised from tolling. However, what is not clear is the plan on how this money is going to be spent.
Yep.
So we have periodically, I think you'll get some news from the National Road Fund on how much they've raised in a particular period from tolling. But of course, we haven't been given a specific plan of how this money is going to be spent. It would be important, I think, in an effort also to gain public support,
mm-hmm.
to be able to come up with a plan, particularly on road maintenance. I think throughout our investments in infrastructure in
mm-hmm.
this country, we have emphasized more about how much money we're spending
than
building
what?
On roads
mm-hmm.
than how we're actually going to maintain
the
roads and the infrastructure that we've put in place. So it's important, I think, also to start to highlight
mm-hmm.
the costs associated with maintenance for some of these projects, because that cost is on the government. So
yeah.
It's important to start to bring out these issues. And also, coming to the back to the road tolls, it's also important that we begin to start to have a plan on how this money is going to be spent. Particularly, I think people will be interested in how this goes to improve road infrastructure in the country.
Yeah, because I think it was at the TMRC organized event when we heard from the Minister of Infrastructure that they said it was said in more in a light-hearted, but it was serious, saying that in our local dialects, I don't think there's anywhere where we have the a direct translation for the word maintenance. We can, if we call, ask people here either to tell us what maintenance translates to in Luvale or in Senga, a lot of people will end up coming up with a statement, with a sentence. Do you also think, therefore, that perhaps it would be time to propose to the government that the ministry that looks at infrastructure development should also have part of it, infrastructure development and maintenance, so that the maintenance issue should be a priority issue with its own PS, with its own directors? Because like you rightly noted, it is one thing for us to be able to say, no, we've built a bridge, we've built this, but if 2-3 years down the road they're dilapidated, then we start building again. So we are just in this vicious cycle of building and building and building.
I think maybe not so important the creation of an extra organ that goes, of course, with cost. I think we do have departments of maintenance under the ministry responsible for maintenance. What we have not, I think, discussed is the issue of costs related towards maintenance.
Okay.
And that's what I think, that's what we think needs to start to come out, because we need to now start to plan along those lines. You can't build infrastructure and not talk about maintenance, because infrastructure comes with maintenance, and that comes at a cost. So we need to start to discuss the issues of maintenance so that going forward we are able to plan better.
Indeed. So that we are able to plan better. Well, you are listening to Chatback, the Thursday edition, brought to you with the compliments of Policy Monitoring and Research Center, PMRC, whose website is www.pmrczambia.com. And you can also give them a call. Their number is 0211-269-717. That's 0211-269-717. Or you can also call them on 0979-015-660. That's PMRC. Very active on social media. Find them on Facebook. That's PMRC Zambia. On Twitter as well, at PMRC Zambia. They also do have a YouTube channel, a Google Plus account, and they are also on LinkedIn. Find out more about what they do. And also, we should also mention very quickly that very soon, that is if it's not already been done, the infographic of what we're discussing here will be made available to you, so that you can look at the budget in probably the easiest way that you can ever find it without it becoming simplistic. We're still talking the 2018 budget preview, and we're joined in by the head of Mountain and Evaluation at PMRC, Mr. Akabondo Kavechani. This is Radio Christian Voice, and now through to Chatback. Good morning.
Good morning, Chatback.
Good morning, Hansel. How's Chiwombo this morning?
Chiwombo is just quite okay.
Very fine, thanks. What do you make of the conversation that we have?
Oh, it's so interesting. I just want to add on and to ask also on the same time. I don't know if you'll be able to derive this according to the question which I'll ask. If he's not according to
ask. Now you're scaring him before you even ask the question. Just ask. He will tell you if he can't answer, because when you do that, he will start getting scared. He say, before I ask the question, I don't know if he's the right person. He will just say, I'm the wrong one. Next question, please. So ask him first.
Okay, according to the budget, but what it has surprised me also so much, according to what the way, according to the tax season, how things are, the way they have even gone high, especially to the business sector, as the way they have put it, at the tax, it is too much expensive, especially to the small business people. Like if I can give you an example, when you are going to get a business permit, you found it, the business permit is 200 quarter, and the fire certificate is 300 quarter, total of it, that is 500 quarter. And again, according to the product, this time now the fuel has been increased. The fuel has been increased by 2 quarter. So deducted by the 18 way, but it has increased, and everything is very expensive, and we are expected everything to be high. And I feel surprised, everything is just being high, especially 2017. Everything you found in the sector, they have increased. Even in the tax, they have increased. Still, then where are we going? Business, how are we going to survive? Especially small businesses. And we can say that, okay, there are some people, the gap which is there, the poor and the rich people, it is very too much still. It is too much high. And we need to try to. I want us to ask you this same question which I've asked. If you'll be able to answer, why things are going just up, nothing which is coming down, but everything in the same year 2017, everything is just going high, nothing is coming down. What is the problem in our nation? Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. It's Hansel in Chiwombo. 0963-903-90, that's the number to dial. 0963-903-90. So he's making a comment that the cost of living is getting higher. So let's hear it from you. This is Radio Christian Voice. You're now through to Chad Buck. Good morning. This is Radio Christian Voice. You're now through to Chad Buck. Good morning.
Hello, my friend, Mr. Chakira. Good morning.
Good morning, Reverend Chongo. How is Captain Poche this morning, sir?
We are tired from the celebration that we had yesterday.
Ah, fantastic. Please go ahead with your contribution, sir.
Yeah. Taxation has never been pleasing from time immemorial, especially on the part of the poor, because it comes so close to someone's pocket. And so this one cannot be an exception at all. Taxation, after all, the budget is only 2 pages in my view. The first page is services, that will be that are intended to be rendered. The second one is the taxation. So, the only thing we can do is to pray and persuade our colleagues in whom we have given power to govern us that when they plan the services, let them give the priority to the poor. The only thing we, the poor people, can enjoy is the services which we are adequately provided to us. And if those powers that be can have the mind of the common person, so that in their thinking, they put the priority of service to the commonest person in the country. Otherwise, the history of taxation has been preaching always. Please let them have the mind of serving the poor. Yes, I agree with my brother who called and gave an example of the justicer and the decoder and so on. Again, it is those people, the poor, we the poor people, who are not being serviced properly, because the three cases that have been given. If you go to the last case, the basic one, you find that the entertaining channels, the city channels are reduced from 4 to 1. And so city lovers, including me, are on the left because the case we have been given doesn't have so many city channels. Again, we are compelled to go to the expensive one at the brim of your pocket. So the poor is never served properly. God, please help us so that those who are given powers to govern can always have the poor at the heart in whatever they are doing. I rest my case, my brother. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day too, Reverend Chongo there from Catherine Porsche. One more caller, and then I will bring in Ms. Kavichani to respond. This is Radio Christian Voice, and you're listening to Chatback, the Thursday edition. We are looking at the 2018 national budget. I almost said the 2021. I'm getting all prophetic and futuristic, ain't I? 0963-90-390, that is the number to dial. 0963-90-390, that's the number to dial. So far, from the views that have come in, let's start off from the end. Let's start off with Reverend Chongo's comment, and well, it echoes a little bit of what Hansel also mentioned. People are not seem like they are not willing to migrate as fast as ZNBC is migrating from analog to digital because of the cost implication that comes with that. Your views on that, if we can talk about that, because there was also a mention of on the levies that those were mentioned in the national budget. So maybe just to give your perspective from that, without necessarily having to go for or against what the government official position might be.
Right. If you notice, of course, the issue to do with migration to from analog to digital, I don't think that it was just a decision that was arrived at by the country to migrate.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's happening
globally.
Globally,
mm-hmm.
And so we have to conform to the new standard. And of course, it's it comes with costs. Of course, purchase of a decoder is one of the repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you will note that they've tried to reduce the price of the decoder by half. And of course, we're considerate that, of course, people that are poor and vulnerable will find it difficult.
Very difficult,
even to access this price that's been halved. But the measure, of course, is not meant to punish citizens in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with conformity. And then we are in a position where we don't have sufficient resources to try and cover this cost and maybe roll out decoders for people to get either for free or at heavily discounted prices. So it's a little bit difficult. But then when you talk about also the issue of services being skewed towards poor people, the social issues, you find that allocation to social cash transfer program has increased by 31%. Despite the overall allocation to social protection reducing. And this is mainly on account of pension fund contributions going down from the budget perspective. You also see, you know, measures that have been put in place to try and mitigate issues to do with the vulnerable people. The food security pack being doubled from 40,000 beneficiaries to 80,000. And also the school feeding program. Being upscaled from a projected 1.2 million at the end of 2017 to 1.5 million at the end of 2018. So these are some of the measures that are put in place to try and help the poor people. Regarding the issue, the question raised on the price increases.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the caller from Chibombo, I think, was alluding to issues of fuel, electricity, and it's a pity that some of the agencies, I think, that are tasked with disseminating information on these issues are not very, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the process, you find that information is not reaching people, and, mm-hmm. and then you have acrimony. When fuel goes up, there's acrimony from people because they don't have the information.
Information that is needed.
That is needed.
Yeah.
You have electricity going up, and then there's acrimony again from people because this has not been explained to them properly. And so now, to look at the fuel issue, when you look at the fuel issue, the new system, the new policy that the Energy Regulation Board is using, they do reviews
mm-hmm.
of the cost of fuel every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 months, the price of fuel will be reviewed. So if the wholesale price of fuel has shifted by 2.5% or more, then an adjustment will be made, either upward or downward. So two factors determine the price of fuel in this country, the mm-hmm. exchange rate
mm-hmm.
and the international price of fuel. So if these two factors combined
mm-hmm.
Result in a wholesale price that either goes up by 2.5%, then the necessary increment will be made.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes down by 2.5% again, then it will respond in the same manner. It will go down. Remember the previous reduction.
Yes.
It was the same principle that was
that was used.
So the idea behind this is to make periodic reviews.
So in that case, who do you think should take the responsibility of informing the citizen? Is it the Energy Regulatory Board?
Of course, the Energy Regulation Board. They make the pronouncements. They should take an active role.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know what mechanisms they use for communication, but it would be important for them to go out as often as possible to try and explain how this is determined and how the new policy works, so that people understand to say, look, even just by following trends, on the international market, international price of crude, and then you look at your exchange rate locally as well, then you'll be able to see where the price of fuel is going. You know that, okay, it's going to go up. But the reviews also being done every 2 months, it helps.
Yeah.
So if there's a benefit in 2 months, consumers are likely to get that benefit. If the price goes up, consumers are, of course, going to be hit by that increment. And it would be good, I think, to position people to start to think like that. Subsidizing fuel, the cost of fuel by government, it's been done in the past, but it's a very expensive venture. And then
it doesn't benefit the intended people.
And it doesn't benefit the intended people, who are the poor, because majority of the benefits in subsidies in the energy sector accrue to wealthier populations. So that's where the other problem is. But you see, you'd need to explain.
Yeah.
The same way, even with electricity, you'd need to explain to people to say, look, we can subsidize electricity. It will come at a huge cost. And most of this cost, you poor people, you look at 50%. They in the electricity sector, 50% of poor people in Zambia only benefit around 3-4% of subsidies in the sector, which is not right. So it is better to withdraw subsidies, and then focus on other social sectors that can benefit the poor people. And one of them is using social cash transfers. Overt social cash transfers are much, much more beneficial to people than subsidies,
in
whole sectors. So, of course, prices for certain commodities have gone up, but also we've noticed that the price of mealie meal has significantly gone down. That's a plus for people.
People are complaining about worker. People are complaining about increases, for example, in that was Martin's complaint, to say the levies are increasing. That's going to put a lot of pressure on us. TV levy going to 5 kwacha now. That's going to put more pressure on us. This budget seems to be milking us more than it is feeding us.
Now, of course, if you look at the 2018 budget, very ambitious revenue collection measures coming from 2017, where we had, I think, revenue collection domestically estimated at about 800 million. We've moved to about 6 billion in the 2018 budget of funds that we have to raise from the domestic market. It's ambitious. There are a lot of measures, of course, that have been put in place. The cost of credit has been expensive, but you'll find also the Bank of Zambia has done very well in trying to maintain sanity and restore sanity in the financial
markets.
We've had inflation come down to single digit. Interest rates are slowly dropping, of course not at the speed that we would desire, but definitely a lot of progress from the monetary policy side. And it's difficult going forward for SMEs, of course, because credit is expensive, so they can't borrow. But they are brighter, on the brighter side. There are measures in the 2018 budget which specifically try to address this issue of credit. One of them is the agricultural and industrial credit guarantee scheme that's been set up to provide cheaper credit. Of course, more detail would be welcome on how this will run and how the interest rates will be and the requirements, of course, for SMEs to access credit, as well as other measures, of course, that you know, where they can use their fixed assets as collateral. I think it's a process, of course, of rebuilding the economy. 2017, we saw a lot of measures, I think, to try and restore credibility to the Zambian economy. And one step at a time, we're doing well. Of course, some of the measures may be very painful, but before you begin to see some progress, you have to experience a little bit of
discomfort.
The discomfort may
like
be,
those of us that lived through the hippie.
Yes, the discomfort may be huge, but it's a necessary thing that has to happen for us to get to the other side.
Yeah.
Because the other way of offering, if you offer relief, so much relief to citizens, is that we have to increase borrowing, and already. Coming from a backdrop of heavy infrastructure spending, I think if you look at the current deficit, the biggest contributing factor was infrastructure. But then we also had unplanned expenditure in the electricity sector because of the deficits that we suffered in the electricity sector. There were subsidies also going towards fuel during that 2014-2015 period. When there was a lot of economic challenges. And so coming out of that, reform is necessary. Reform may be painful, but going forward, these are the things I think that need to be put in place for government to recover the economy, as well as other structural measures, of course, that begin to focus on fiscal consolidation from the government side, how we control our spending from government, how we... And make sure that government gets the full benefit of money that they're putting in, as well as bringing in other smart measures of financing government projects.
All right. You're listening to Chatback. Let's see if we could squeeze in one more caller and then probably read out the messages as we wind up the program for this day. 0967390390. This is Radio Christian Voice. You're now through to Chatback. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Brother Kate.
Good morning, thank you. Who do we have on the line?
Yeah, this is Brother George calling from Solwezi.
Oh, George in Solwezi. George, go ahead with your contribution.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Stefani.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's a nice program as you are doing the budget. So, what I'm seeing in this budget, I would say, it's a bit complicated in the sense that maybe for it to be fully implemented or accomplished requires a lot of maybe sacrifices from we Zambians, and we, for that matter, I think it will like give us a bit of some punch in terms of the economy, because we have seen a lot of the introduction of new taxes, what and the like of it again. We are seeing at that thing before even maybe some other new tax were introduced. What I can say, what I've seen is that maybe, I'm not against the idea of introducing taxes, but maybe I'll say the period that if they have been introduced maybe before, but prayer we are having applied, because if you look at it, maybe in this previous government, we have a lot of things that have come, like on the road now, we have the Soviets. We have to pay in almost all the loads that we travel on in Zambia. Last recently when I was coming from Tanzania, we entered Zambia. So I saw, I felt that impact of saying, oh, this is how things are changing, because on every buses you have to pay, on every, I don't know, I would say after each toll gate you have to pay, you go for after anywhere in Tanzania. The customs they will charge you. So you find that impact now is coming now to us. I mean, I remember the conductor saying, you know, guys, we have paid this and that, so you guys have to top up on your luggage, everything that you have carried. But you had paid for the luggage, you had paid for yourself, but I think you start topping up. No, things are changing, what and the like. So you find that now, if it comes to business, it's becoming so expensive to do business. And the challenge that we have in Zambia, I would say maybe 90% of our economy is in the foreign hands. So we ourselves as Zambians, we don't even have that much capacity to manage our own, and that's a problem. But if I say, I don't know, well, we are talking of the fuel increment now. Recently the government was being praised to say they have reduced the fuel price. I remember our...
Oh my word, we've lost our brother George there. Yeah, that statement, maybe that's where we're going to pick up your closing remarks from Boaka. This perception that a greater chunk, he has made it 90%. He says 90% of our economy is in foreign hands. That perception that our economy is actually in foreign hands, is it justifiable? We can't say whether or not a perception is true or false. It is a perception, so it stands. But what would be your reaction there?
Well, you remember that these are some of the issues. I think even when we held our seminar, some of the issues that kept coming up is the issue of ownership, Zambian ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And our president, His Excellency Edgar Lungu, has been quite passionate about this issue. I think on several fora, I think he has spoken about the issue of ownership. And I think it's up to us Zambians, I think, also to take ownership of our economy. The sectors, of course, the entire, if you look at the entire economy, you're talking about 70% probably, which is in foreign hands. And there's need, I think, for more active participation.
Yeah.
Coming back to the 2017 budget, you will see that there were some measures which were put in place. I think tax incentives for locals to try and tap in, to try and increase, I think, our share of activity. But beyond that, I think there's also legislative reform that is
desperately needed. Yeah.
That is needed, and gladly some of it is on the way to try and address these issues of ownership, and mainly to do with the way companies are structured in the country and how much should be owned by locals. I think it's very, very important that locals take an active role in the running of the economy. It's the only way, I think, that we will be able to overcome economic challenges that the country faces. It's not all gloom and doom in the, of course, in the 2018 budget. Right now, I think we need to take advantage of a number of issues. We have increased agricultural output. We have stable electricity right now. I think minimal disruptions, a few disruptions here and there, of course, owing to maintenance work, but generally not as bad as it was when we had the challenges in the electricity sector. And also, we have higher mining output supported by better copper prices.
Yeah.
And projections so far and forecasts show that the price of copper is likely to continue rising for the next about 10 years. And we need to take advantage of this as a country. Major challenges expected during the implementation, of course, of the 2018 budget include debt levels, both domestic and foreign debt. So we need to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a debt management strategy that's in place. But of course, we also notice that in the management of our debt, the government intends to increase domestic debt levels as opposed to foreign debt. Of course, trying to bring in the issue of risks associated with forex, but also this presents a problem for local investment, because then it tends to crowd out private sector investment. If
you're
competing for the same money with government, then it's difficult for the private sector to thrive. But however, if this debt that's being contracted by the government from the domestic market is entirely for servicing arrears owed to local contractors, then it's a progressive move. So priority: dismantle government arrears, settle debt. Government intends to present a bill to repeal the Loans and Guarantees Authorization Act. I spoke about this earlier.
Yeah.
This bill will provide for enhanced oversight over the borrowing activities of the government and running it through National Assembly. So if these strategies are strictly adhered to, then we should be able to make some progress regarding the debt. The other opportunities that exist, of course, the farm blocks in the agriculture sector, that will be set up in Copperbelt and Mutsinga. We provide an opportunity for local entrepreneurs and for agro-processing to grow. The full migration to the e-voucher system, of course, to cover 1 million beneficiaries, also will provide opportunities for the private sector in terms of supply of agro inputs as agro dealers. In the tourism sector, I think they've tried to move to the single licensing system and prioritizing of major roads and airstrips leading to tourism destinations. So,
yeah.
So that's something I think for potential investment, especially with improved access. Talk about now creating a conducive environment. A legislative reform that we have been talking about. And of course, our concern has been that some pronouncements in the 2017 budget have reappeared in the 2018 budget without progress or without a report on what really happened. So going forward, I think it would be important for the Ministry of Finance to communicate, maybe say the challenges that have been faced without piling up more objectives for the country. We need to see a situation where we can have some feedback on some of the problems so that going forward, that also creates a platform where the public is able to understand that these are the challenges that are being faced
first
from the government side. So we could not implement these either policy, regulatory or structural reforms. And so going forward, this is the plan for implementation. So it's easier to follow up. So going forward, we shouldn't see this disappearance and reappearance of policies with
policy consistency has to be
Without any explanation. And if we adhere to the measures set out, particularly on debt management and the other structural reforms aimed at creating an environment where there's adherence to budgets and mitigating measures against erring officers through the revisions to the Public Finance Act, we should be able to make significant progress as a country.
Indeed. Those are the words of Mr. Akabondo Kabechani, who is the head of monitoring and evaluation at PMRC. He's been our guest today on this special program brought to you the compliments of PMRC. This is where we wrap it up for Chatback today. Before we leave, our scripture reading is taken from Psalm 37 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." That's from the New King James Version. Join me tomorrow between 9 and 11, where we will be talking intellectual property law. Until then, my name is Chatewa. I'm Biagdari saying bye-bye.